If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Whatever you do, do it 100%. When you work, work. When you laugh, laugh.
If he could do it, if he could do it,
this isn't a movie.
He believed himself. And he can't do it.
I firmly believe when you give everything you got to something, right? I'm talking about blood, sweat, and tears. Everything you got to something, right? The peace in that is not the result or the reward. The peace is the fact that I gave everything I had to it because this is who I am.
Yeah.
You can do anything that you want. Make more money. You could be even like rich. You could live in the White House someday. You could be president.
Me?
Do what you want.
You have no f***ing idea how great you really are. Because you are using such minimal of what you have.
The limitations exist only in our minds, and if you start using imagination, then your possibilities become limitless. So
why would you not go for it? Why would you not take a chance?
It's not up to other people.
It's true.
It's up to you.
We're all going through a battle in our mind. A warrior is not a person that carries a gun. The biggest war you're ever going through is right between your own ears. It's in your mind. We're all going through a war in our mind, and we have to callous our mind to fight that war and to win that war.
Then there are days when you just feel broken. Your back hurts, your knee hurts, not that a lot. Maybe you're a little sick or scared, but you still find a way to win. And those are the victories we can be most proud of, because they prove that you can win not just when you're at your best, but especially when you aren't.
As John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyhow, all right? So there comes a point where you just have to have courage and you have to go.
I will do what is required. And this work needs doing. And there's just no way around it. And it's just looking at the face of the work and it's like smiling back at me like, no one else is going to do it.
If your definition of success is win or lose, giving everything you've got and growing or learning along the way, then you're setting yourself up for success. I really think the biggest cheat code in life is just going after it and not being concerned of whether or not you fail at one specific task. Instead, understanding the big picture, what your long-term goal is, and knowing if you keep driving forward and never quit, in the end, you will succeed.
And then there's something called passion, which once you have a passion for something, you no longer ask questions of motivation. Like people ask me, like, what motivates you to go to the gym? I'm like, I'm addicted to going to the gym. It's like asking a crackhead, like, what's motivating you to do that, light up that rocket? What? That's what I want to do, right?
There's no losing, only learning. There's no failure, only opportunities. And there's no problems, only solutions. So to me, what failure is the mother of all success. If it wasn't for Michael Jordan getting cut from his ninth grade basketball team, he wouldn't have became Michael Jordan.
For those of us out there who don't fit in because we don't want to get in, we don't want to be in, the race is not about the destination, because there is no destination in mind. The race is about the running and what we see while we are running. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm playing to win, and to win I will destroy you. I will do everything to win, and I need to win, because when I win is my proof that I am alive.
The number one ingredient is hunger.
If somebody's got a hunger that doesn't go away, not a hunger to lose some weight for the summer, I'm talking about a hunger to be more, to do more, to create more, to become something, to give something that matters, that kind of hunger that doesn't go away. That's what you see in, like, yeah, I'm sure you know Richard Branson. He's a good friend, you know. Richard is 74 years old, and he has the same hunger as he did when he was 16, starting Virgin in a crypt. You know what I mean? That's there. Anybody who has that component that's alive in them is going to succeed. And hunger, though, usually comes from not having things so well.
Two, you got to be willing to leave everything you have. If you're not willing to walk away, like you did from Toronto,
yeah,
you got to walk away from everything you have. The friends that started for me when I was 25. It goes back to what I said earlier in the story with my drug addiction. I had to leave my friends, the girlfriend, everything that was comfortable, the bars, the clubs, the house I lived in, everything, bro. I had to walk away from it all. I have never had success in my life, not a next level success, without leaving something I love.
I like to be in control, and especially if my name is involved or me as a person is involved. I do things because I believe in things. I believe I can make a difference or make noise. And some things you do from your heart, some things you do from the brain, and that's the challenge. And I'm not afraid to take a challenge that is not easy, that is very difficult, but that's who I am as a person.
Play hard, man. That's the values we give them. Play hard, and hey, man, be yourself. You know, in this world when everybody wants you to be, you know, to conform to this, conform to that, man, my whole thing is be yourself, man. You know, everybody's an individual. We all got different fingerprints, different DNA. Yo, man, we should just show how different we are, man. Just be yourself.
The fastest way to take control of your life is to stop controlling everyone around you. You have no idea how much time and energy and attention you are wasting trying to control other people. You have no idea how much energy you are burning through, thinking about, worrying about, obsessing about what other people are doing, what they're not doing, what they're feeling, all of which you have zero control over.
I think that personal ambition is worth fighting for. It really is something that if you don't fight for it, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. And if you regret it, you can be an unhappy person. If you're an unhappy person, it's going to affect your family. So you can see the chain of command all the way down, that it can be pretty devastating. The common answer is we fight for family. But fighting for family starts with you. Mm-hmm. So you got to fight for peace of mind. That's what I think you have to go for. You know, what makes you happy enough in your life that you want to make other people happy?
We allow things to happen that we should not accept. We should not accept. We allow ourselves to get out of shape. You see people like that? You didn't get out of shape overnight. You accepted it day after day after day after day. We let ourselves get into bad financial situations. We accept it. Little bit at a time. I'll just put this on credit. I'll just get another credit card. That's what we do. We accept doing a job or living a life that we really don't want to live. And what I'm saying is, do not accept that.
Real man is born to serve. And serve means provide for those that are in your sphere of you to provide for. It means to protect. It means to encourage. It means to teach and to train. And sometimes it means to step back and let them hit the wall. Sometimes the best service you can do for somebody is to, when it's all done, walk up and look down and say, did that hurt? You know, that's what they needed.
Took that chance when I was 21, when I was dead broke and had my cars repossessed and all that stuff. That's the only way you ever get where you want to go. You have to take a path that's dangerous. And most people want to take the safe path. The safe path leaves you stuck in quiet desperation almost every time. It's hell. It's hell. You're selling insurance or some other shit you care.
Is it good to have no emotions whatsoever? No, that's called a sociopath, right? Is that good? No. Is it good, like I was talking about earlier, to let your emotions run your life and make your decisions based on your emotions? No, that's not good either. What do we want to be as a human, as a man? We want to be balanced. We want to be balanced. You don't want to be extreme in any direction.
Not everything deserves a response.
Not everyone deserves an explanation. Stop talking. Not every conversation is one that you need to participate in. Stop talking and start practicing being quiet and not having an opinion. Oftentimes, protecting your peace and not getting involved and just listen, don't talk, is going to make you happy.
Growth mindset is, I believe, sort of a neuroscience lens on growth mindset would be that the agitation and stress that you feel at the beginning of something and when you're trying to lean into it and you can't focus is just a recognized gate. You have to pass that through that gate to get to the focus component. And then if you can reward the effort process, you really start to feel joy and low levels of excitement in the effort process. That's that buffering of adrenaline. That's that feeling like, yes, I've got a lot of adrenaline in my system, but I'm on the right path. Mm. It feels good to walk up this hill.
Take ownership of your world. Take ownership of your life. There's number one. Number two, the second book, Dichotomy of Leadership. Be balanced. Be balanced. Don't be extreme. Extreme, look, you have to sometimes get out there in the fringes a little bit. Occasionally, you probably had some business situations where you're like, all right, I got to let go half of my staff right now. That's an extreme move, but that's how we're going to start. Do you have to do that sometimes? Yes, you do. But don't let that be where you live. Live in the center, live in a stable area, and then finally discipline equals freedom.
You have a plan, and you have to spend all your waking hours outside of whatever job you do planning your escape. And you have to come to the realization very clearly that you f***ed up and you got yourself stuck. So whatever you're doing, you have to do it like your life depends on it. And whether it is you're trying to be an author and if you're gonna try to be an author and you're working 8 hours a day plus commuting plus family responsibilities or whatever else you have, whatever time that you have to attack like you're trying to save the world. You're trying to save your life. You don't want to drown. That 1.5 hours a day that you have to write, goddamn, you better be caffeinated and motivated. You got to go. You got to get after it. And you got to have discipline.
So many emotions going through your mind, through your body. Undoubtedly, there is a huge pressure and expectations and the importance of that moment. And you're aware of that. You know, you can't put it aside and say, okay, I'm going to ignore it. No, it becomes a part of you. It consumes you. Now it's on you if you are able to overcome that obstacle, to face that I would say big sensation of mix of doubts, fears, excitements, you know, pressure or so forth, and if you are able to become one with it.
You could have talent. But if you don't have discipline and you don't execute, you don't focus, what do you get? Nothing. If you're complacent and not paying attention to detail, what does that get you? Nothing. So nothing is acceptable but your best. So we need to be, everything is determined by what you do and you trying to be your best so that you can build on positive performance so that, and that's the only thing, there should be nothing else.
Figure out where your power base is and to work on the alignment of your personality, your gifts that you have to give with the real reason why you're here. That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself and to fill yourself up and keep your cup full. Keep yourself full. I used to be afraid of that.
If I'm broken, then I just found my limitations. And until I know what my limitations are, how can I push them? How can I get better? But once I see it, once I feel it, once I see where I was broken, then I can attack that weakness. I can fill in that gap. I can reinforce that breach.
There's no passion, no motivation. There's no, oh my God, man. It's every day of your life just doing. No passion, no discipline, no motivation. All these words, I hate people. I hate that so many people use these words now because it's watered. It's someone sitting in a room by themselves and they figure themselves out and say, God, this is gonna suck. Where's passion when you're 300 pounds? Where's the motivation when you can't read and write? Where is it? So how did this happen? I just did.
Learn what matters to you and what's important and kind of your place in the world through repeatedly hitting your head against different challenges. And I mean, I think that's the journey, right? I mean, that's the entrepreneurial journey. It's also, I think, part of the beauty of building things and
really developing who you are, right? You don't have to be afraid of yourself. So I would say that the inner monologue that I have with myself now is totally different than when I was a kid, but it's similar in terms of the approach and just being open-minded and being a man that's not afraid to stand on what you believe in and speak on what you believe in. So I'd say that.
So I call it going to a dark place. You have to get the noise out, quiet your mind down, get all the static out before you can even have a real conversation with yourself. And that self-talk, a lot of times it's very negative because of all the stuff we see on TV, all the stuff we see on social media. You have to create a positive dialogue.
All they can do is learn and come back bigger, better, stronger, because all it's gonna do is lead you in the right direction. See, if you're always winning, then you don't really understand what it is to win. You gotta take those losses, you gotta take those hits. There's gotta be the valleys, the peaks, the ups, the downs. In order for you to, when it does happen, you go, wow, qué rico. You know, this is what it's all about. And not only that, it's never about making it, guys. It's always about maintaining it.
We'll see masculinity as something negative, whereas it's actually something very, very positive. It's this kind of energy that has built cities, that has invented things, that has created civilization. Not that women did not have a huge role in that as well, but there's something extremely positive about masculine energy. It's an energy that's ambitious, that wants to make things. So you're somebody that wants to make and do and create things, not just talk and talk and talk and talk.
Oh, I saw perfect. Nope, practice don't make perfect. Practice make permanence. This permanent, y'all. This is permanent. You can go wherever you want to go from here. It does not take talent. You don't have to be talented. Right? You don't have to be gifted. You don't have to be the quickest, the strongest. You don't have to be the most intelligent to get to where I am. That's what you gotta do. You just gotta grind, though. Your grind, you gotta outgrind.
Realizing your legacy and the place you're leaving for the people who are coming after you, including you, that is what matters. The question I try to ask myself is, what will the me of 10 years from now thank me for doing today? Something difficult, something unrewarding. But 10 years from now, I'll be really glad that I showed up and did that. And the fact that some old guy is here telling it to you isn't going to change anything. I can't teach you anything, but maybe you'll decide to learn it yourself.
To me, there are those of you who said, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be the best at this company, right? But your value system says you believe in sleep more than you believe in grinding. Your value system says you are a consumer and not a producer. That you're spending more money than you're making. Why? Because you're a consumer, but you're reading all the books and you're saying everything the books are saying. But those books are not in alignment with your values. And if you're going to go to the next level, your values are going to have to change.
The rule is you can go after whatever you want. You just cannot deny anyone else to go after whatever they want. Now, I had to sacrifice choice. I didn't get to choose which bagel I got. I got whatever I pulled out, but I didn't have to wait in line. So the point is you don't have to wait in line. You don't have to do it the way everybody else has done it. You can do it your way. You can break the rules. You just can't get in the way of somebody else getting what they want. That's rule number one.
And if you were not informed about it at all, and it's kind of my attitude about everything now. You know, when somebody tells me about something and I've never heard of it before, or if I've heard of it, never don't understand how it works at all. My first thought is always, you know, how hard can it be? And it's probably just a textbook away. You know, so you're probably one archive paper away from figuring this out.
I find somebody who loves to do that.
You know, I find somebody who has a strength where I have a weakness, and I partner with them. All you're trying to do is get to the goal. No one gets there by themselves. Everybody needs help. Now, when you know what you got going for you, be confident, not cocky. Managing your strength, knowing what they are, and don't let nobody talk you out of it. And that gets you fight ready. You get fight ready like that.
All right, know who you are. Know if you're meant to walk shoulder to shoulder and line to line with a group of other men. And if you are, great, wonderful, do it. Be the best at it. But if you're not, don't search for a destination. The trip is the destination. The journey is the goal.
I also tell them that the greatest risk they take is not taking one. Which, by the way, Miss Martinez taught me that. And I use it to this day. Anytime I feel that, should I feel nervous like I feel right now, I take the risk. And for all the students, for all the teachers, and for all the educators here, we have to take risk. If we don't take that risk, I go back to it. It's the biggest risk that we...
Secret to success, I would say, first of all, is passion and consistency. You have to love what you do. You have to get up every day. And I get here every day at 9:30 in the morning. When we sold in 2016, a lot of people in the company made a lot of money. And they all took off and they retired,
yeah.
Right? Other than the Fertittas, I made the most money. I'm still here.
I wonder why we have no growth. We wonder why, when the smallest thing in our life gets difficult, we wonder why we cower and we run away. Because we are kind of living our whole life is set up that way. Our whole life is set up in the path of least resistance. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to feel discomfort. So the whole time, we're living our lives in a very comfortable area. There's no growth in that.
Or judge toughness by its cover. Pain tolerance is one of the biggest factors of someone who can handle pressure. Because the whole idea of pressure is there's pain. That pain could be embarrassment. That pain could be, I don't know if I can handle this. That pain could be a lot of different things. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, the difference between a hero and an average person is that the hero goes 5 minutes longer. Meaning the hero can handle the pain 5 minutes longer than the other person.
Take with you is study. You know, athletics is not just a physical thing. You know, I try to study my competition. I try to study nutrition. I try to study other great athletes, guys who've done great things in the past, and try to model, you know, myself after them. So I'm big on the mental game when it comes to being an athlete. Sports psychology and things like that. So really focusing on the mind, not only the body, is important.
You know, no, bottom line, I mean, they call it dreaming because you're sleeping while this happens. You know, I've lived my dream every day. I wake up, I go out there, I work hard for it. Patience, passion, perseverance equals success. Everybody, you know, you call it a dream. No. You can make it reality. So I always say, you know, I dream and they stay dormant. They stay sleeping. So for everybody out there, it's a dream, but wake the fuck up and get out there and get it.
There it is.
And then a lot of people, they just think this is easy.
If the best things happen to you before you're ready for it, it will not be a blessing in your experience. It'll become a great difficulty. You will not be able to handle it. Whether it is material well-being or spiritual well-being or great experiences or whatever, unless you evolve yourself into a certain stage, you see, anyway happen. Your business on the spiritual path is just to keep yourself receptive.
The thing of it is, though, you are the only one responsible for the pool. What you have to be careful of is as you pull this rope up the hill, you have to make sure that everybody that's on the wagon is doing something to get the wagon up the hill. Everybody's foot got to be hanging off that wagon, pushing. Somebody got to get off the wagon and move rocks from under the wheel. It's an old wagon you're pulling. But what happens along the way, and you got to be careful, There are people who will get on your wagon and have no value.
So if I'm going to get good at something, I'm going to put my mind, my body, my heart and soul behind whatever it is I'm going to do. And I do that because I like it. You know, I like to learn. I like to experience. I like to grow. And I think you can get really good at doing it one way. The hard work, the, you know, all the stuff we talked about, get really good at doing it and become successful and then have just about everything you want. But you may not truly have happiness. You just may have a lot of things and you got really good at doing it, right?
Truly my passion in life. It's like the sphere. We're doing the sphere. Why? Why would I do the sphere? It's going to cost me a bunch of money. It's really challenging. Most people think it can't be pulled off. And you're looking at weird angles, different things going on inside other than the fight and all this other stuff. But yeah, I'm doing it because it's awesome and it's challenging and it's hard. And I think that if anybody can do it right, it's us.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So why not take that challenge?
There's a really important relationship between our time and discipline, because we could choose to do everything in a world where time was infinite. Mm. But it is the scarcity of time, the limited amount of time we have, which I talk about in chapter 19 of my first book, when I'm talking about the roulette pieces and the chips we wake up with every day. We wake up with 16 chips left out of the 24. We've placed 8 of them on sleep. So through that framework, it's important to allocate your time with a certain intentionality, or you might regret the life you've lived. So that's why discipline matters.
The biggest lesson, life lesson that I've learned is the power of the mind, and just how important it is to look at yourself at a high regard and to believe in yourself. I think in order to paint a bright future for yourself, you have to be able to see it in your mind. You have to believe in it, and the more you believe in it, you know, the more your world will start to change, and the more you'll just start to, you know, see your beliefs come to pass. So, answer your question: just self-belief.
Struggle to believe I'm worthy of moments of joy and peace without first putting myself through a brutal schedule, monitoring my productivity levels down to the minute. Perhaps some people apply this earn your cookie mindset in ways that lead to healthy achievements. Not me. Mine is a mutation whereby joy and self-compassion are regularly outlawed by an internal tyrant who decides when I've been flogged enough for one day. Just when I'm about to collapse, a voice inside says, okay, give him half an hour of peace before bed, but make sure he knows we'll start again bright and early in the morning.
Primary component of emotional resiliency is self-control. Self-control has both a mental and emotional component. They're really so closely tied, right? They're like two sides of the same coin. Because you can have emotional responses that trigger unhealthy thought patterns, and you can have unhealthy thought patterns that trigger the emotional response. It's very rare to have a pure thought that doesn't have an emotion tied to it. And it's also very rare to have an emotion that's powerful without thinking about it. Am I right? It's like they kind of lead, one leads to the other. And so that's like that saying we have, where the mind leads, the body follows. It's equally true that where the body leads, the mind follows.
Learned that I think that not only to be an entrepreneur,
is thinking outside the box. That I agree with 150%, but I also think it's all about an approach. And not only an approach physically, an approach mentally. Because if you're chasing money, it runs. All right? If you're making money, it's different. All right? So for people that are entrepreneurs, there's no cut in the corner. There's no magic bullet. There's no cheat sheet. It's really simple, as complex as it may sound. Hard work. Work hard. Believe in yourself.
At a catastrophe or a crisis in your life in the last 12 months, you're not doing something great. You're not trying to grow. You're not trying to change things. You're literally trying to change your life, change your family's life forever. So these things come with it. Again, I want to be clear. There's all kinds of amazing experiences. And having been on this road, I can tell you the beautiful experiences and the emotions and the breakthroughs and the pride that comes with overcoming these challenging things, overcoming doubt, overcoming fear, overcoming rejection. That's the juice of life. It's where all the juice is.
Your parents taught you, if you study, how should you study? Study hard. If you work, how should you work? Work hard. You do everything hard. If you do things hard, things won't happen. It'll become a donkey's life. Just doing everything hard. Nobody told you, you must study in joy. Nobody told you, you must work in love. They told you, you must do it hard.
Positive emotion that motivates people is always experienced in relationship to a goal. Now, this is a very important thing for everyone to understand, because it means that if you don't have a goal, you have no positive emotion. And it also means that the higher your goal, the more positive emotion you experience when you're moving towards it. Because positive emotion signifies progress towards a goal. So you need a goal. The goal of the deepest religious traditions is the ultimate goal by definition. So the idea is that you need a goal, and so you should pick the utmost possible.
Talent matters. I'm not going to stand here and tell you it doesn't. But talent has a broad definition. Most of the time, it's not about having a gift. It's about having grit. In tennis, a great forehand with sick racket head speed can be called a talent. But in tennis, like in life, discipline is also a talent. And so is patience. Trusting yourself is a talent. Embracing the process, loving the process, is a talent. Managing your life, managing yourself, these can be talents too.
Accept that all of your heroes are full of shit. Your heroes aren't gods. They're just regular people who got good at one thing by sacrificing literally everything else. And I think, in my experience, looking at high performers, they're not ubiquitous human-wide examples of perfect people. They're usually very competent in one narrow domain. And sometimes they've managed to hold on to the remainder. And sometimes they've had to completely burn everything else down, either as a byproduct of or upstream as the creator of their success.
The whole journey in life is like, I've always been told no, and I always took them no's and turned them to yes, you know what I'm saying? And I always believed in my path and my vision, even though I know you have to go through trials and tribulations in life, but I do know there's sunshine on the other side. You know, I do know there's a goal, there's a victory. You know what I'm saying? Winning ain't easy. Success don't come overnight. This is 25 years of blood, sweat, and tears. You know what I'm saying? Before I got on this show, before I made a number one record, before Jay-Z became one of my partners. You know what I'm saying? This is like, you know, never surrender, never giving up, never stopping. You know what I'm saying? And some days it was real stormy, and I made it through.
Wondering why other people are successful is the refuge of losers.
Yes.
It's a loser mentality. It's a loser occupation. It's a loser practice. Because you're wondering why other people are successful. Like, who gives a fuck? You can say you think it sucks, but to spend time wondering why someone is successful and hating on someone for being successful, it doesn't do any good. It's like, what is that old expression that jealousy is... it's a poison that does the opposite of its intended.
Oh, right.
It doesn't affect the other person at all, but it poisons yourself.
Yeah.
It wastes your energy and time.
Imagine this, that if you're attentive to the action of your own instincts or the divine voice, I don't think those are distinguishable, then a goal is going to emerge that catalyzes a series of transformations. This is what happens to Abraham. So he has a series of adventures after he decides that he's going to go out in the world. And every adventure is marked by the erection of a sacrificial altar and a recommitment of his upward aim. Now, there's two reasons for that. One is that he reminds himself that he's aiming upward and he's on an adventure. And the second is he admits to himself that with every transformation of character, something has to be sacrificed.
Another thing is to set goals. Motivation is in many senses defined as the pull towards a goal. You get rid of a goal, you're technically not motivated to do shit. Like animals in a lab are motivated, but goal-based, at least neurochemically, you could have Huberman on here, he'll tell it to you better. It's like motivation is goal-oriented, even if the goal is equalized this amount of chemical between one brain cell and another. So if you have a goal of like, I want XYZ amount of reps on my lift that's realistic, or even a motivation like, I want to be able to tell myself I'm man enough to go to the gym four times a week every day this year. That's my goal, a process goal.
You need to give up the impossible quest to pay off your productivity debt and instead start thinking about each day as an opportunity to move a small but meaningful set of items over to your done list. And you'll find that you make better choices about what to focus on. And because you'll actually make more progress on them by wasting less time and energy being distracted by the stress about all of the other stuff that you're unavoidably neglecting. So paying off this imaginary productivity debt completely, in other words, working so hard and so efficiently that you no longer feel like you're falling behind, is literally impossible.
I'm not gonna put no pressure on you, but it's been 60 years since a male in our family has graduated from high school, so I'm gonna need you to take your senior year serious. We got a lot riding on you, and I'm telling you, greatness is here, but it ain't on Cam's shoulders no more. It ain't on Farley's shoulder no more. It ain't on Bo Jackson's shoulder no more. Now greatness is on whose shoulder? That's why I wake up every morning at 2 o'clock, 2:30, because I got my mama counting on me. I got my sister counting on me. I got my son and my daughter counting on me. I got a world that gets up every morning and watches me. I got little kids who don't believe that they can do it. When they saw me, they thought now they can do it. So I get up every morning at 2:30, 3 o'clock. Why? Because greatness is upon me. Dr. King is dead. Malcolm X is dead. I'm that new guy.
In doubt, that means you're on the road less traveled. If you have a lot of fear or anxiety on the road you're on, or if you've experienced those emotions recently about what you're doing, you're feeling like an imposter, like you have imposter syndrome, like nobody knows, I don't really know what I'm doing. You're on the road that I think you should be on, the right road, the road less traveled. If you felt anything like rejection, like lots of rejection, you get all kinds of rejection on the road. By the way, you want to go get a beautiful relationship in your life and you're on a road to that? It comes with rejection. You want to build an amazing business? It comes with rejection. You want to build an amazing body? It comes with rejection. So if you experience that, you're on the right road. You're on the road less traveled.
Limitless is a myth. I mean it. I say that as someone who has heard that word a lot. Effortless. People would say my play was effortless. Most of the time, they meant it as a compliment. But it used to frustrate me when they would say he barely broke a sweat. Or is even trying? The truth is, I had to work very hard to make it look easy. I spent years whining, throwing my racket before I learned to keep my cool. The wake-up call came early in my career when an opponent at the Italian Open publicly questioned my mental discipline. He said, Roger will be the favorite for the first 2 hours, then I'll be the favorite after that.
So why? You see people that have unbelievably outsized results in life, and those who kind of have consistently bad results in life, because each positive experience is self-reinforcing. It tells you a story about the sort of person you are, and you start to build on good habits, and these good habits show you more good habits, and you get a little bit more confidence, and you get a little bit more, and you say, well, this is part of my identity now. I actually can push myself a little bit. So, and you're like, holy, like, you know, to the 1% per day increase, you end up at some unbelievably big number by the end of the year. But you also see the opposite. And this is how you get, you know, very diverging outcomes from people that started at relatively similar places.
You're in a battle. All this negativity is coming at you. But if you're able to fuel yourself in the morning, win the war in the morning, so you have the strength to face what you're going to face in the world. The world's going to come at you with lefts and rights. You have to have the right kind of mentality. And that starts by not hitting the snooze button. It starts by waking up. No, you don't want to do it, but that gives you the strength because you did it. If you do it, if you do something you don't want to do every morning, you're already giving yourself the proper self-talk. You're already giving yourself the proper dialogue to attack the people that don't like you, to attack your insecurities, to attack what the world's going to give you. So self-talk comes from belief in yourself.
Everybody, so people can stop calling you weird. Why are you so antisocial? Because I'm trying to get it. Why are you staying on the basketball court so much? Because I'm trying to get it. Why are you out there practicing in the hot sun when ain't nobody else out there? Because I'm trying to get it. Why are you not clubbing? Like every time I text you and invite you to go do something fun and cool, you always studying. Because I'm trying to get it. Let me tell you something, homie. These women ain't going nowhere. These clubs, these parties, all this ain't going nowhere. The more weird you are is a reflection of how committed you are to focusing on your molding and shaping and developing your ideas and your craft so that when it's time for you to make your rounds, you're gonna fly.
I'm gonna win. You're not gonna control me. I'm going to defeat you and everything in front of me. You're just a wall that I have to break through, you know? And if I can't handle this, I don't deserve what I want.
Down to the experience of trusting your intuition, you know? I know what my body needs. I've been here for 10 years. I can just feel it. I pick up a weight. I feel a certain way in the day. I know what I need to do, and you just gotta trust your instincts and do it, not overthink it sometimes. The stress is okay to feel in adversity. It's where the stress leads you that you need to avoid. You need to prevent the stress from being strong enough to make you avoid adversity in the first place. If you start to feel stress about adversity, I think diving right into it is like the secret for growth.
How can you expect to have faith in yourself if you can't even keep your own word? So the problem is, we sacrifice the thing that we want, which is self-worth, for the thing which is supposed to get it, which is validation. Sacrifice self-worth to get validation, in the hopes that if we have sufficient validation, we will finally be able to have some self-worth. Sacrificing the thing that you want for the thing that's supposed to get it. And this neediness.
People, one person says the word work and the other person hears the word pain. And so the first step to like becoming more successful is understanding the language that the people who are successful are using. They're actually defining the word differently. And so whatever that thing is that you actually enjoy doing, where you lose track of time when you're in it, even if it's challenging, but usually it is challenging, right? Like it's not easy because then it's boring, right? Which is also why the uncertainty thing is so key, right? To not knowing if it's gonna work or not. You are gonna work though, either way. Is that the people who are quote addicted to work make it easy to be addicted to work because they do things worth doing. And I think a lot of it is coming down to making sure that you take the few precious seconds that we have to do the few things that are worth doing for the rest of your
life. Are a feature of life, not a bug. There will never come a time when you have no problems. What? Did you think that you would just wake up one day and you're going to cease having problems? Like completing a video game and leveling up to a map where there's nothing there. That is never going to happen. Your problems will change, sure, but having problems is going nowhere. Dealing with problems is the cost of doing business as a human. It's not a personal curse on you.
He said, develop your communication skills because once you open your mouth, you tell the world who you are.
You get confidence from doing something.
Yeah.
Anything. Two, you get confidence from doing it consistently. And three, you get even more confidence if you do it and win.
You got to do it alone. And people will help you, and when you get the ball rolling, people will jump on. But if you don't believe, nobody else is gonna believe. People come along because your belief is so insane, that your belief is so strong, that makes people be like, yo, this crazy.
Life is a fight for territory. And once you stop fighting for what you don't want will automatically take over. And so it's a fight, it's a challenge in life. Every day. And what we have to do is embrace it. What we have to do is see it as a project to be worked on. I read something once that I live by. It said, in life, you will always be faced with a series of God-ordained opportunities, brilliantly disguised as problems and challenges.
Think, I'm not afraid to do what I believe in. Then afterwards they give you or nothing. I mean, it's me. I cannot change me. I'm not here to be beautiful or to be perfect to somebody. I think being yourself is perfect. You will do mistakes, you will learn from your mistakes. And you will still do mistakes. And me getting angry and that's me. I need to get fired up. So that's how I bring out sharpness. That's how I bring out the best out of me, when I walk on fire.
Don't you have bad days? Don't you have days when you're like frustrated and anxiety and pissed off and you watch TV and you eat Cheetos and watch pornography? And I said, well, I do some of those things, right? And of course I do, but it's like an athlete. I built muscle over the years so that it's not that I don't have feelings, that I don't get hurt, I don't feel sad, I don't feel tired, I feel all those things, but they're not the dominant force of my life. It's a muscle. The mind is a muscle. Emotion is a muscle. I mean, I think the most powerful muscles are the invisible force muscles. It's your spiritual emotional muscles. Like, courage unused doesn't grow, it shrinks. So I put my ass on the line regularly so that it grows, and when it keeps growing, then pretty soon the stuff that used to make me crazy, it doesn't touch me. It's not that I'm so great, just I'm well-trained. I've trained this mind.
You fall in love with your own intelligence, boy, and you're gonna be in some sort of trouble, because I don't care how smart you are, you're not smart enough, and that is not the only virtue.
The magic you are looking for is in the work you're avoiding.
Yeah.
Dude, the magic you are looking for is in the work you're avoiding.
But I have to be in it to win it. You know, I have to see the problem as a possible solution, not as a problem. That every problem isn't a problem, but a situation that I can manipulate with hard work, ingenuity, thought process to create a better end state. And that's what I'm doing, so.
To get out of sadness, and I've been sad many times in my life, the thing that's helped me get out of it is realizing that a perceived lack of options is what causes sadness, not a lack of options, a perceived lack of options, which means that all I have to do is figure out what I need to do, and figuring it out becomes the option.
The first things someone will be asked when they enter the kind of ecosystem of recovery is, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do different? How willing are you? Are you willing to make this your number one priority? And a lot of people will put words to that, but only time will tell whether those words are followed up by the action that demonstrates the level of willingness that is required to actualize anything of meaning in this world.
I had to stop giving a f about people. That was the biggest thing. I had to stop caring what people thought about me. I realized that everybody's fucked up. That's the one thing I realized. I walked around and I put these people on a pedestal. Everybody was better than me. So I can't tell you anything about me, because you're gonna judge me and I'm gonna feel even worse than what I am. What I realized, once I calmed my mind down and sat back and looked at how jacked up this world is, once you realize that you are not alone, everybody that's talking to you about how jacked up you are, only thing they've done better than you is they've hidden their up world better than you have.
Desire to me is a contract that you make with yourself to be unhappy until you get what you want. Okay, and I keep that in front of mind. So when I'm unhappy about something, I look for what is the underlying desire that I have that's not being fulfilled. It's okay to have desires. You're a biological creature. You're put on this earth. You have to do something. You have to have desires. You have a mission. But don't have too many. Don't pick them up unconsciously. Don't pick them up randomly. Don't have thousands of them. My coffee is too cold. Doesn't taste quite right. I'm not sitting perfectly. Oh, I wish it were warmer. My dog, pooped in the lawn. I didn't like that. Whatever it is. Pick your one overwhelming desire. It's okay to suffer over that one. But on all the others, you want to let them go so you can be calm and peaceful and relaxed.
The balance of success, the balance of life, to see adversity, problems and such, as some things that complement the end goal, not something that's going to deter it or shut it down. Because we're always going to have problems. We're always going to have situations. We're always going to have things that are unforeseen. That, our opportunity is to see them either as a negative or a positive. Because these negative opportunities that have been, slapping me in the face like Murphy's Law almost every day, is three or four of them are coming up that I didn't think were going to come, are just really blessings in disguise. That if I really absorb it the right way,
You know, there's a pathway to a betterment of it.
If there's one unavoidable truth in this world, it's that there is no substitute for putting in the work. There is no shortcut or growth hack or magic pill that can get you around the hard work of doing your job well, of winning something you care about, or of making your dreams come true. People have tried to cut corners and skip steps in this process for as long as hard work has been hard. Eventually, those people either fall behind or get left in the dust, because working your ass off is the only thing that works 100% of the time for 100% of the things worth achieving. Work works. That is the bottom line.
If you want to know something about yourself, sit on your bed one night and say, what's one thing I'm doing wrong that I know I'm doing wrong, that I could fix, that I would fix? You meditate on that, you'll get an answer. And it won't be one you want, but it'll be the necessary one.
Connor, in February of 2013, we spoke for the first time. You didn't have a car. You didn't have a pot to piss in. All you had were blueberries. Now here you are with the undisputed gold. Enjoy it, my friend. You deserve it. You called it.
Yeah, from nothing to something to everything. So that's where I am right now.
You and I know what I really am.
I think you can be anything you want to be.
Maybe in your world, Robert. Doesn't really happen that way in mine.
Change your world.
You know, when you're built different than everybody else and you have this desire for more and this desire for achievement and this desire to win, everybody else looks at you like you're fucked up. And they'll tell you that too. You know, what the f*** is wrong with you? Like, why can't you just relax? Why can't you just do this? Because I'm just not built that way, man.
Why do we focus? So that we can learn to pick ourselves up.
Give up on me.
Never.
Because if you sit in failure for too long, you will never come out of it. So the first part of my success was learning how to fail properly. And then eventually, I started getting a few victories.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.